Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. And we've got a great show for you tonight on the 21st of this month. And I am telling you, you're going to enjoy it. It's a show about what inspired me to write from my early childhood to my adult life and why I love to write books. My destiny was to become an author, and actually, I did it. And we're going to talk about how that started, from all the way to back to my mom, my dad, my dreams, my desires, and how I actually got into this fantastic career of writing books. Now, we usually have a word that we put up, and we usually talk about the artist, but tonight our format's going to be a little bit different. We do have some tracks that we're going to play that coincide with how I grew up, what I thought, some of the little love affairs I had with the little girls in school, junior high and high and elementary. I had a crush on some girl in elementary. But anyway, we're going to talk about a lot of great things. We're going to have a great show for you tonight. Our show is going to broadcast usually now for an hour and a half, so I hope you're ready. And if you want to reach me, you could call 347-633-9376. That is my number. You could call in during our music break, or you could email me, like most of you do, at McClureDonS@yahoo.com, or use my business email, DonSMcClure@dsmpublications.net. And tonight, definitely we want you to go to my website, order some books, get all involved in what I write, because it's really creative. The website is www.dsmpublications.net, and if you don't find that, you can Google me. So again, we're going to have a great show, and before we start our show, I always like to send some shouts out, because that's important. Those are the people that listen to our show, at least some of the fans, and we have a lot of new shout-outs that we got to do, and some special people. I'd like to send a shout-out to Andrea Hood, or Andrea Hood, and I guess it's her husband or brother, Michael Hood, Lucille Simon, S-I-M-O-N, or Simon, Tyrone, and Cheryl Collins of Chicago. Yeah, we're getting a lot of ands, so I wonder if these are husbands and wives or whatever. Dorothy and John Shorty of Peoria, Illinois, and Keisia, K-E-C-I-A, or Keisa, Williams. She's in Virginia Beach, Virginia. She's a new listener. She's a friend of mine on Facebook. And she just bought two books, Romantic Images of You and Broken Wings, Fallen Angels. So those are two good books. So again, we're going to get our show started in a few, but we got a couple of things that we have to mention to you. Now, you know, I found something interesting in the internet. I was reading a story about a clerk who lost her job because she did a good deed. And actually, it was in Massachusetts, What she did was a homeless guy came into the 7-Eleven, and she gave him a cup of coffee because he was homeless. And so her boss came in, and he confronted the homeless man. Did he pay for it? And she said, yes, she did. She put the money into the till. And then later on, she came back the next day and told him. She said, well, I really told you a story. Actually, I paid for that coffee, but I wanted to give it to him. Now, she's 19 years old, and he fired her. So she says, my lesson learned is that good deeds pay off. Her name is Ava Lenz. She's 19, and she told Yahoo, do what you believe is the right thing and stand up for what you believe in. Only good things will come of it. So the story ended with her getting a better job at a nonprofit homeless shelter where they work with the homeless and feed them and put her into some programs. And, man, that's just amazing. So her job is now working for the Citizens for Adequate Housing, and that's a great thing. So those are our great stories for today. We're going to play a quick PSA, and when I come back, we're going to start our show. But we always have to play these PSAs, which are public service announcements, because we want you to have a healthy heart. And I want you to live as long as I'm going to live, because I'm going to live to be about 800 or 900. Last time I was here, I think I saw the Noah's Ark of Moses. So stay tuned. You can hear my show. We're going to play this Heart Association public service announcement, then we'll be right back.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started. My entire chest, shortness of breath, very fatigued,
nauseated. Thought that it was nothing much, maybe just stress.
You're having a heart attack.
I'm healthy. I'm young. There's no way it could be my heart. No way. Heart disease doesn't discriminate.
Listen to your body. Go get checked.
Heart disease is the number one killer in women.
And this is something that we can fight.
Visit GoRedForWomen.org to learn a woman's risk for heart disease.
Heart disease remains a leading killer of Americans and significantly affects the quality of life of countless others who have trouble doing even simple things they once enjoyed. I'm Jimmy Johnson, and like someone you probably know, I have heart disease. Today I'm doing what I love, spending time outdoors and with my family, talking football, and even competing on Survivor. But just a few short years ago, heart disease could have kept me from the sidelines. I couldn't let that happen. My whole career has been about hard work to achieve success. I knew there had to be a winning solution, and I talked to my doctor. Then, working with an interventional cardiologist, we decided on a stent to relieve my heart disease symptoms. I've never looked back. As a survivor, I'm urging you to talk to your doctor and know your risk, because your own health is more important than the biggest game. Learn about your heart disease, get proper treatment, and live well. For more information, visit secondscount.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show on a Friday. And it's amazing now that we have 12,776 listeners. So that's an awful lot of darn people on a Friday night. And I am truly enjoying all of my fans. I love them, and they are the best supportive fans in the world, so I want to thank you for listening. We're talking about three key words that helped me to become a writer. And actually, worked with me all throughout my life to help me become the person that I am today. Well, the words are imagination, desire, and destiny. And we're going to talk a little bit about those, because the track that we're going to play next is a song that I want you to listen to the words in, as we always tell you, and see how it can relate to your children, to you, to your boyfriend, husband, whoever has an imaginative mind. But when I was growing up, I learned early in life that my mother played a key role in the development of all the things that I do. And I say that because when she carried me for the 9 months that she had to carry me, and actually I was premature, she used to watch a lot of television. And so while she's carrying me, all this information from the TV that she liked in the programs was going into me. And I know a lot of people say, what? And I'm going like, yes. When we start learning early, it's long before we even get here. So my mother had this fascination with movie star names. And she had named some of my brothers like Gilbert Roland. She named him after one of the famous actors. My other brother was named Rudolph Lawrence after a famous actor who none of you even remember, was Rudolph Valentino, and she kept all these names. Well, my mother liked a lot of romance movies and things that she would sit there and watch and cry a little bit and do the fantasy world thing. But as I was growing inside of her, I was taking in all this information, especially the music she played. So I had a chance to really develop my strong desire to listen to different types of music. So when I came out, I was premature, and the doctors told her I might not make it, but she said she had faith in God, and I actually survived and couldn't talk really like I can talk now. And I had thin lining in my nose, so my nose bled a lot, and I was just troubled as a child, but she kept her hands on me and kept telling me how special I was and that I could achieve anything. Well, after I got a little older, I found my imaginary place was in the backyard. And I started really thinking a lot about Homer and Socrates and Alexander Dumas and the stories that I heard and even Dr. Seuss. So I would run around in my backyard playing, fighting trees and saving damsels in distress and just doing all these great things. Well, I noticed that I had a strong desire to be a leader, to be imaginative and to fight the wars and win for somebody, to conquer things. Well, when your child has this imagination, don't try to stifle it because that's the beginning of their career of development. So we're going to play a track by Minnie Riperton and the Rotary Connection that was made before most of you were around, but it's called I Live in a Magical World. And I actually decided to use the same song when I get ready to do the musical for the book that I wrote called Santa Claus Versus the Aliens, A Christmas Wish. But I want you to listen to the words in the song because it talks a lot about how I was growing up and how a lot of children are and what they want you to do. The words are like, I live in a magical world, and why can't you just leave me alone and let me develop into who I want to be? So they knew as children in this magical world, you wouldn't understand them. So let's get to the track by Minnie Riperton singing It's a Magical World, involved with the group, the Rotary Connection.
Yeah.
And that's Minnie Riperton and the Rotary Connection doing A Magical World. Now, remember I was talking about imagination. The dictionary says the ability to imagine things that are not real. The ability to form a picture in your mind of something that you have not seen or experienced. The ability to think of new things, something that only exists or happens in your mind. So as I was developing this strong imagination, or what we call a vivid imagination, I had all these characters I wanted to create in life as I was growing up. Well, later on when I decided to be a writer, I captured all that information that I had retained as a child, whether it was outside playing in the backyard, doing something mischievous, telling a story to my parents. I took all of that and made it into the books that I wanted to write because I had a solid base to work with. When you allow the imagination to work, which is how we got Star Wars, which is how we get the stories today, whether it's Van Helsing, whether it's the new vampires that's on TV, or even to write Scandal, they have to use their imagination. But a lot of these strong creative writers, if they search back, they will go all the way back to their childhood and say, this is what I was doing. That's why you hear a lot of people say their children were playing piano at 3 or 6 or 5. I was already in an imagination world because I could protect myself there. So that's when I decided to create all these different people who could protect me from anything else outside of my world. And if you use that imagination, whether it's animation you're trying to get into or writing a song, if you stretch your imagination and go back to think of things that happen to you or relate to something in an imaginative way, you'll be able to become a much better writer. So when I create my characters, yes, I am always in an imaginative world, but I'm also in a realistic world where I take reality and blend it into my imaginary world. So in a lot of my books, you're going to find that there's a lot of reality in there. There's also a lot of fiction in there. So that's the difference in when you're starting to write and you want to tell your stories. That's the reason why we grew up liking Dr. Seuss, Horton Hears a Who, or why we even watch a lot of the romance stories today. They're all from the imagination of people that create these things. And to work in the arts, you need a vivid imagination. Now, if you can take a lot of the things that happen to you and you keep growing with them, you will be able to see yourself emerge as a totally different writer. And now a lot of writers are talking about becoming storytellers because that's what Homer and Dumas and all the great writers were. They were not authors first. They were storytellers. And actually, Homer was considered one of the best poem writing people because the stories that he told about Achilles and Hector and Troy, they were considered poems back then. So when you reach back and you do your research and you say, who do I want to be like? How do I want to write? And do I have to follow everything that everybody else says? No, you don't. Use your imagination to create your life story and blend some things in there. When they did the movie Rosewood, they created the character called Mr. Man. He did not exist. That was for the imagination part to draw the public in. When they wrote the true story part, things did happen to the town, and the incident did happen. But you have to learn to blend. So you're not doing totally all fiction. You're actually doing fiction and fact at the same time. You're listening to the Donis McClure Show. We are discussing a great topic on imagination, desire, and destiny. And we're going to keep talking about these issues for our whole show to get you to see why I write the way I write, why I enjoy writing, because I get to create these characters. And we're going to talk about a movie called Simeon, or Simeon, where he does the identical same thing. He creates a woman who does not exist, and it's the first hologram. So you're talking to Donis McClure on the Donis McClure Show. My number is 347-633-9376. If you'd like to dial in, if not, send me an email at McClureDonS@yahoo.com, or reach me on my business email, DonSMcClure@dsmpublications.net. And yes, I do love seeing my name. It is just the most powerful name in the world. Actually, I like it. It's even bigger than the president. Wow, that's a lot of pride. That's a lot of strong things to say. But anyway, I'm enjoying the show. We're going to go to another track called I Say a Little Prayer for You by Dionne Warwick. And the reason why we're playing that track, as I was growing up, I got into a lot of things. There was this little girl I wanted to impress named Jackie. She was the sister of a friend of mine, and we're all in the backyard as kids. And so I picked up this chair that had no seat in it, trying to impress her, and it had a nail stuck in it. So I kept lifting the chair above my head, and pretty soon I hit a hole in my head, and blood was gushing everywhere. And needless to say, the little girl ran off to get her mother and father, and I had to go to the hospital, and my brothers called me Egghead. So I said, okay, that's real funny. But I survived that dilemma. But again, that's why we're playing the song, I Say a Little Prayer for You. My mother used to say every day, I have got to say a prayer for him, because you know what? I don't know what's going to happen to him. He's just out there in the world. But when you have young people growing, we're going to do some foolish things. But yes, my brothers and them, I kind of got angry at them, too. They called me egghead. They thought it was funny. And, of course, the little girl did come back and give me a little kiss on the top of my egghead. So anyway, we're going to play Dionne Warwick, and I say a little prayer for you. And remember, you need to say a prayer for whoever you really care for, because, again, they're having some days that may be amazing. But always encourage people. And using those words, again, that's how I got into writing, having people that were concerned about me. I developed that issue of them into my writing. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but here's Dionne Warwick.
Forever, 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 forever. You stay in my heart, 'cause I will love you forever, forever, and never.
Now, of course, I used that Dionne Warwick, and actually it was written by Burt Bacharach. But it was the whole essence of having somebody that you really cared about, that you wanted to write something special for, or you really wished them the best in life. So, again, we've got a caller on the line. Let me see if I can get to that caller. Good evening, caller. You're calling from Chicago, and this is the Don S. McClure Show.
Yes, Mr. McClure, this is Tony Stevens here.
Hey, Tony Stevens, how are you? The great artist. Man, you're like Picasso, even better. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing well. I was just calling you to let you know you probably was getting a compliment and not knowing that back in the day when you were called an egghead.
Well, I don't think that did a lot for my self-esteem, but I did get the girl.
Well,
that was the whole point.
The word egghead means an intellectual highbrow.
Oh.
You fit that description. That is your destiny. You are an intellectual highbrow.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And actually, my head still kind of hurts from that, but I'm okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling in, Mr. Stevens, and don't forget, next week we're going to have you on my show, so we're going to talk about a lot of great things. But I'm glad you called in.
Yes, sir. I enjoy your show. Have a good evening.
Well, thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Okay.
And again, see, there's a lot of people listening to our show. And, yes, I was really traumatized by that. But actually, I got a girlfriend out of it, so that was pretty good. Well, again, when you're writing and you're using a lot of your experiences in your stories, it was always my images in my mind that no matter how much the warriors went out and fought and did or whoever was involved, they always had these women that they wanted to capture and see as beautiful women and really just idolize them from the fact that they were fair maidens or whatever. So when I wrote the book, The Gods in the Beginning of Life, I was telling a story about two characters, David and Tiana, and they fell in love in my book, Romantic Images of You. They had a child, and now they're going on vacation. So when you do your introduction to your book, you don't want to say, this is David, this is Tiana, and they were in their last book. Well, I wanted to write something that sounded like a motion picture. So I did the introduction so that he could tell the readers what he was feeling for her and to get them kind of involved in the story. And a lot of people liked it, so this is what I said in the beginning of the introduction. There are many stories about how man conceived his human ways and instincts. Some say he was born decent with morals and character. Others say that from the time he was created, there was no good in him at all. Merely a few small reflections of right or wrong and the desire to become the only power on earth, being judged by no one. But in the summer of 2001, I spent 7 days on the road with the woman I loved, crossing the Great Northern Plains, where I found the basis for what I learned about man and his beginning. My name is David Stewart, and this woman of amazing beauty sleeping next to me in the front seat of our Jeep is Tiana, and this is our story. Now, the reason why I did that, so I've watched a lot of movies from Hitchcock, and I felt like, you know what, when you write, why don't you have introductions so that people can feel like they're going on a story rather than just writing, it was a town and it was a summer day. So I started developing what I wanted to write, going back all the way to the older movies I saw and the producers and the writers that put that stuff together. So I knew then I wanted a soft point, and I had a chance to hear it played by an associate friend of mine in Michigan. She bought the book on Kindle and she played it for me. And you could hear the voice doing it. And she got that same effect. It just seems like you were inside of a story. Well, of course, growing up with a lot of romance and seeing romance and my mother being a very romantic person, and my dad was, I took that information, put it inside of me, and I decided, how do I want to open a story? Well, we're going to play a track by Beyonce called Brown Eyes. And, of course, I have brown eyes. But you always hear the phrase, the eyes are the windows to the soul. Well, if the soul is there and they have brown eyes, that's the color to the beginning of the soul for this person. Some people have blue eyes, and we write about that. But to have that deep effect, she's talking about somebody she fell in love with. And I think the group that's with her at this time was Destiny Child. But it's called Brown Eyes. And so when I heard that, again, I'm thinking about the romantic side of writing. And you can do that when you decide to write your book. Play something romantic if that's what you're writing about. Try to watch you as many romantic movies as you can. And just get the feel of it. And put yourself in that position. If you got a girlfriend or a husband and you buy some wine and flowers, put that in your book, how he felt, what she felt, and how you first fell in love, what it felt like. I saw that other part, and we're going to talk about that on one of the detective stories. But we're going to play Beyonce. Brown Eyes is the name of the track, and I want you to think about my beautiful brown eyes when you hear this track, and even though you can't see them, they're very pretty. So let's get this track going on, because I love me some Don S. McClure.
Oh,
Wow. I just got an email, too. I got to laugh because my producer said, you will not believe this. My maid.
I will survive the past.
And she said,
I will survive.
With the beautiful brown eyes.
Fear. And I will survive.
I guess she wouldn't survive. I forgot the track hadn't gone off. Anyway, my producer come write me a note real quick on the screen talking about, your maid said you got some beautiful brown eyes. And I say, okay. What's she doing? Oh, I forgot. You could see my brown eyes on my photograph. Okay. All right. I'll give her credit for that. I had to look at that. How do you know I got beautiful brown eyes? Anyway, what I'm trying to get other writers to do and people, take situations and just stretch your imagination. Imagine a young lady singing that to a guy in the park, or she's at school. Oh, stop crying over there. And, you know, you get the whole feeling of love. That's how the song is produced. Well, when you create these characters, whether, like I said, whether you're singing or you're writing, really put some passion into it so that you develop strong characters. A lot of times the characters are weak in books. That's why people say, I didn't really like it. But again, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show on a Friday, and my number to call in is 347-633-9376. If you want to give me a buzz when the music stops playing, you can. And also go to my book website, www.dsmpublications.net. You will find a lot of great work there. I mean, truly imaginative. And that's why I like my new book, Dark Side of the Earth, Demons and Angels. But we're going to take a quick PSA, and when I come back, we're going to talk more about writing and creating characters and how I actually got involved in my destiny to become a great writer. So we're going to talk about this for a minute. Make sure you have your fire smoke alarm and detectors working.
My dad is my hero. He goes into burning buildings. He finds people inside who need to be saved. He helps them get out, even when he can't breathe or see or is a little scared. My dad is a firefighter, but the best thing he can do is come home.
The U.S. Fire Administration reminds you to protect yourself and firefighters. Have smoke alarms on every level and near sleeping areas. Test them monthly. Change batteries as instructed. Install sprinklers. Do your part to get out before firefighters have to come in. The fact is, most fire deaths occur in homes with no working smoke alarms. The good news is, that's a fact we can change. Smoke alarms save lives. Find out more at usfa.dhs.gov.
And we're back, and we're talking about writing and imagination and destiny. And actually, I had started writing in 1996. I became a really professional writer. I did my first children's book series. And I wrote The Little Cat That Slept, The Strange Animal's Birthday Party, The Little Cat in the Magical Island. And I wrote this one book that a friend of mine in Memphis truly loved. Actually, a lot of people in Memphis liked it. It was called Mansa, The Legend of Evil. And, of course, it was just like all the other stories. It had a really severe villain, and it had a lot of good people in there trying to save the world from his domination. Well, one teacher told me that the book was so good that the students liked the characters so much that when they acted up in school, she'd tell them, well, you're not going to be able to read the book. And when I got with her, she told me, Don, they can imagine exactly what you put into print. So I use it as a learning tool, and they stretch their imagination. Imagination is the key to your writing, and it's the key to your life, actually, because when you have a strong imagination, you become a much stronger person, and you can defeat the odds because you don't let anything bother you. Well, again, looking at different things that we do and say, we have to think about how does anything work for us. Well, desire. The dictionary says it's a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. Wish, want, aspiration, fancy, inclination, or impulse. So again, if it's strongly something you wish for or want something, want, wish for, long for, yearn, crave, hanker after, and be desperate for. All those can fit in your imaginative writing, because if you're desperate for her love, then of course you're going to write something like that. If you have a hankering for it, like for a hamburger or whatever, you're going to get stronger at that. But use imagination as your key, and then if you can use the word desire in your head and just work it into your writing, that's going to be the most important point when you develop your characters. We're going to get to another song because I wrote a book called Romantic Images of You, and I really want to use this song in a scene in one of my other books called I Love Writing a Fun Love Story. Now, the young lady's had a lot of problems with the guy, but she really loves him, and they've broken up. But she wants to come back to him and tell him how much she really loves him. So we're going to play a track by Nicole Renee called How Many Times Must I Say I Love You? And her whole thing is, I do love you, I want to tell you I love you, and how many times I got to say I love you, and I want to tell you a million and one times. Whew, that's a whole lot of love. But we're going to play Nicole Renee, and man, I mean, she's letting him know. She says, sit down, I want to tell you I love you. So when I write my books, the female characters have strong points that maybe they made a mistake, but they want to come back and tell you how they apologize and they want you in their life.
I didn't mean to make you cry. But I didn't know I was hurting you so. You're all my life, you're the only man I love. And I could never stand to see you go. 'Cause not a second, not a minute ever go by when I don't have you here in my mind. So stop all this talking and listen to me. You're everything I want, you're everything I need.
How many times do I have to say it over and over?
I'm
And I guess she got the point across there that she loves him. But anyway, when you're writing and you want to create strong characters, you listen to other things and then you imagine how a person would say it, what they do, and you really draw from other areas for your imagination and what you want to do. Now, we're talking about destiny. How did I know I was destined to be a writer? Well, I'd already started writing in 96, got out of it, and then I went into diversity marketing. Made a lot of money in that field. It was really great till the economy went bad. So after the economy went bad, my clients all weren't spending that kind of money anymore. I was sitting on the back of my yellow Mustang, and I got a picture of that on my clipboard, so if you could see it. I'm sitting there, and that's the day that I was sitting there thinking, like, okay, what do you want to do to get back to that kind of financial wealth? How do you get back into something you truly love? You know you can't do diversity marketing anymore. You've been in that 20 years. Well, destiny played a role because I said, what does everybody do? You write a book. Whether you're a politician, whether you're going to jail, whether you're coming out of jail, whether you're a great lawyer, whether you're a civil rights worker, everybody writes a book. So I wrote my autobiography, and I was inspired to write it because I said, okay, I do have a story to tell from all the stuff I went through from the time I was 22, getting into corporate when I was 24, becoming a vice president for companies at 26, and lecturing to all your major corporations in America, and working with 36 governors, a lot of them that you already know, from Sarah Palin to Jeb Bush to Arnold Schwarzenegger, Deval Patrick, just all over the country. So I took all that information and again and said, you know what? I'm going to write a book about when I couldn't speak, when I had speech problems, when I got bullied in school, how I dealt with that, how I dealt with the teachers, and every last incident. And I'll make it fascinating so that when people read the book, and they do, they say, Don, I really like that. Well, again, I got to an issue of when you're out there, of course, people don't believe in your careers because it hasn't been tried and true. But I knew I could write, and I knew it was my destiny to write from all the stuff that I studied. So I decided no matter what anybody said, I was going to continue to write. And it wasn't based on how much money I made. It was based on it was my destiny to become a great writer because I had stories to tell, and I wanted to tell the stories of other people. So I knew from all the way from birth when I first asked my mom, why did I enjoy certain styles of music? Why did I do this? Why was I an adventurer? All that stuff was leading up to becoming a great writer like the people I admired. So what you need to do is find your destiny. Look inside yourself. Go all the way back to when you were a child, what you liked, what you didn't like, what you enjoyed, even if it means getting in trouble. You may want to become a counselor and help people not get in trouble. Well, the next track is called Don't Make Me Over because I had a lot of people that had to tell them, don't make me over. I don't want to be made over. I don't want to be any other person than Don S. McClure, the greatest person on the earth, like Muhammad Ali. But let's play Sybil singing Don't Make Me Over. And again, if you're talking to your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your cousin, your priest, your minister, tell them not to make you over if you really believe that you're going in the right direction. And Don Cheadle just said the same thing.
Don't make me over.
you know, that's an amazing point, because when I did my first real book that was considered my autobiography, I went to the library in Memphis where I had been for 18 years, and I looked up the issues of what is a book, how do you write a book, how many pages go in a book, how many words go on a page, and I approached it from a strategic business point of view. So when I approached it, I didn't have to ask everybody. Then I took my cover to a university in Memphis, and before I finished the book, I asked all the students in the art departments and on campus, how did they like the cover? It was called Broken Wings, Fallen Angels. And everybody said, man, I like that cover. It looks up to date. Now, some people said, well, it's a black angel or angel with black on. How come she doesn't have on white? I said, because that's what I want the image is. It's called Broken Wings, Fallen Angels. It's my autobiography about my victories, my triumphs, my failures, and just trying to succeed in life. It shows where I made a lot of money. It also shows where I made a lot of mistakes at. But when I did my cover, I actually went out and asked other people, what do you think of this cover? Because I knew that I liked artistic images, and I always wanted my covers to look like motion picture covers that you see in restaurants and on magazine walls and stuff like that. So I had a concept in mind. If you're going to design a book cover, don't just design it with your face on it or that you like you, or you write something that doesn't make any sense. Get an idea of that you want this cover to be something that somebody would buy as a poster. And that's what a lot of the writers aren't doing. They're coming up with good concepts, but they aren't thinking past them. They're not saying, you know what? What if it wasn't me? And that's what I ask people. How would you like this cover? And especially now that they're doing a lot of movies about warlocks and demons and vampires and everything else. So the house is burning in the back for the broken wings. She's got on black wings. And now we use that same label to put on bottled water, on cups of coffee. So when you're going to go to become a writer, you got to use your imagination to work past the words that's going to be on your page. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course I am the one and only Don S. McClure. We got 31 more minutes into the show, and I am enjoying being here with you on a Friday night, my 12,000, close to 13,000 listeners, and I got to send a special shout-out to Amaryllis Santiago. That's my girl there. She can sing her tutu off. But again, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I am truly enjoying talking about becoming a writer. I want you to think about it, even if you're a musician. When you do a cover, will that be a cover that somebody says, I'm going to put that in a picture frame? Because your covers are usually what sells your books. We're going to jump to a track where, of course, again, I'm using a lot of information to write, and I'm being very imaginative. Well, of course, when you're meeting girls and you're growing up and you're meeting guys and you think about, some of them say, I want to be friends, and you say, I don't want to be friends, and you write the little note, I like you, do you like me, put X in the box. And I know you haven't done that in years. But anyway, we're going to play a track by Deborah Cox called We Can't Be Friends, and they realize that they're really attracted to each other, so they can't be friends. But I got a lot of female friends, and they are actually friends. But again, I want you to think about what you're writing and how you see the world and what you believe in, and just give it some twist of imagination. So let's get to Deborah Cox, We Can't Be Friends, and we got 29 more minutes into the show.
To just act like we never around and not show her how dare we agree
Now that was such a sweetie beady song. Ooh, me and my producer was in there crying. Well, anyway, our ex-girlfriends are not calling back. They don't want to be friends. But anyway, when you're writing and you use your imagination, I want you to stretch it out. And when you see those love scenes in the restaurant, or you're writing something where they're breaking up and throwing dishes at each other, I want you to dig deep into the souls of what you think you want to feel, and then get it together and say, okay, I'm going to put this on paper. So like I said, when I did my first book, I really spent 8 hours a day at the public library in Memphis, Tennessee, and every day I wouldn't do anything but write. Now I write a book every 2 months, and I try to do 10 pages a day. But I was so set on doing this that I just stayed at it and stayed at it, and I looked at it. And when it came out, I was so thrilled. It was 440 pages because I was taught that you don't do any more than 440 pages for an autobiography. So a lot of times when you're deciding on how many pages to write, if you're going to do a short book, try not to make it over 250 pages. If you're going to do an autobiography or a novel, then you can stretch it out to 390. But try not to make these books so thick, because people, then they get into reading like Gone with the Wind, and that's what we were told by professionals. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course I am the one and only Don S. McClure, and when we come back from this track that we're going to speed up, we're going to talk about how you price your book so that you can make money at being an author and not end up being, what do they call those, a starving artist. So anyway, we're going to jump a little bit to a little reggae, a little bit of Blue Cantrell, and what she's talking about is her and her boyfriend have been having some difficulties, and she thinks it's time for them to take a little breather so they can get it together. But she's got a rap artist connected to her track, and I think it's Sean Paul. But we're going to listen to Blue Cantrell. It's a track called Breathe, and you can get all these tracks on CD Baby or Amazon, or if you email me, I'll send you the list. But I want you to listen to this track. I like it, and I played it the other night, and yes, I did get to see the video. And I was bumping and jumping, and my producer came by and said, hey, Don, how you like that? I said, man, I like the Jamaican music. I like the island. He said, oh, please, that's a terrible accent. So let's listen to Blue Cantrell in Breathe. And she's telling her boyfriend, I've had all I'm going to take of this relationship, so when you're ready to write about distancing yourself, you kind of have an idea.
Son of Paul and Blue Cantrell, remix, I'm gonna make them head swell, yo. Yo, hey, yo, boom, yo, hey, yo. Dirty, so what's that supposed to be about, baby? Get free up your vibe and stop acting crazy. Reminisce on all the good times daily. Why you tryna pose like I be acting shady? What's that supposed to be about, baby? Get free up your vibe and stop acting crazy. Shonda Paul, I give it a good loving daily. Now you tryna pose like I be acting shady.
You say you love me, you say you love me, but you're never there for me.
Make up.
some time alone. We need to let it breathe.
So what's that supposed to be about, baby? Get free of your vibe and stop acting crazy.
Breathe.
For the first time, make I make it very clear to you. You're very dear to me, and all me have me share to you. Me not unfair to you. Woman, I want to really make you know that I will always draw near to you. But me know me not no fear to you. Me stand up like a man, and I'll be okay. Dear because I care for you. Long time you're telling me not a girl I come fear to you. Woman, if you leave me now, I'm gonna shed a lot of tears for you. You want to breathe and still you're not exhaling. Say you want to leave cause this relationship failing. Ain't nobody said that this would be smooth sailing. Girl, I want to know why you're bailing. So what's that supposed to be about, baby? Get free of your vibe and stop acting crazy. Reminisce when all the good got daily. Why you tryna pose? I can't be acting shady.
I guess she got a brief because did you hear that? I think what he did, he got mad at her and crashed her car. That's why I think you heard that car thing. But also, that was very creative. It was showing, hey, why you crash my car like that? You know, you need to get on out of here. Or either she crashed his car. Oh, man, that was crazy. Anyway, that's the imaginative part into it. He'd be acting crazy, and I definitely got to play a PSA after that one. That just drove me crazy. My producer said, hey, did your ex-girlfriend crash your car? See, I think she did. But anyway, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. We're going to take a quick public service announcement, and when we come back, we'll have 16 more minutes into the show, but we want to make sure that you get your light bulbs. So, yes, we're going to play our favorite public service announcement that a young lady named Renee that owns a daycare, and she really likes that PSA. I don't know why. Maybe she don't have no light bulbs, or maybe she does. But it's talking about lumens. So let's talk about lumens, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about how to become a successful writer.
It's our last errand today, Jimmy. Just need to pick up some light bulbs.
Whoa, there's so many. Did Grandma tell you which ones to buy?
No, but check out the label on this package. It'll help us find the right bulbs.
Does it really matter?
Well, sure. The new light bulbs use a lot less energy, so we save money on our electric bill by using an energy-saving incandescent, CFL, or LED.
How about this bulb?
Now, let's see. We need to replace the 60-watt bulbs in our bedside lamps. That one is 800 lumens, so it should do the trick.
I've never heard of lumens.
Lumens tell us how bright the light is. The more lumens, the brighter the bulb.
You know, Grandpa, you're a pretty bright guy.
Yeah, you're pretty smart yourself, Jimmy.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov. That's energysavers.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Energy.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show on a Friday, and there's no snow outside. And today is the 21st, so it's the second day of spring, and man, am I glad. And yes, my ex-girlfriend just sent me a text. I'm going to crash some more of your cars. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I want you to think about your pricing when you're doing a book. Now, the reason why my books are priced, and I'm considered one of the highest paid authors in America, in the top 100, and I'm around with Grisham and the rest of them. If you have a book that's only $3 or $2 or $9, you'd have to sell a million copies to even make anything. But if you price your books in where most successful authors are, between $25 and $35, if you sell 8 books a day, of course, 25 times 8 is going to give you a couple of hundred dollars. Then you manage that out for a week. If you can get your books up to sale at least $700 a week times 52 weeks, you'll know what you're going to make. Usually when writers have books that are like inexpensive, and there's nothing wrong with doing a book for 99 cents and stuff like that, but you got to consider what you're getting out of that. The reason why those books are priced at what they are, so that I can say, okay, if I sell from a marketing point of view, X amount of books per day, I know what I'm going to make. Think of it like a job. If you're making $15 an hour and you work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, you'll know what you're going to make. You won't have to guess. Then you have to get into the marketing strategy of it, how to promote your book so that you can make what it is you want to make. And it's not going to happen overnight, people. It's going to take a minute. But as you grow, you'll be able to say within a year, I'll be able to get to a $50,000, $80,000, $200,000 income. And it's going to take you that long. But the results are going to be fantastic because you're working toward building a reputation. You're working toward a marketing strategy, and more people are getting out there to know you because you'll do more book signings. So when you first get started, you're probably not going to make a lot of money. Sometimes you'll have a big spurt. Sometimes I get 1,000 books sold. Also, you got to talk to other organizations. I work with the Friends of the Library. So they sponsor a lot of book signings for me to come in. They've already bought 50 books for them to sit down and say, Don, how did you write this? And those are the things that I want to present to writers. If you're listening to other people who are telling you the wrong information, if you keep pricing your books at $3 and $5, then, like I said, unless you have a really popular name, you're not going to sell a lot of books. Then you're going to become distraught. You're going to say the industry is not about anything, and you're going to get tired. So just like any other industry, if you only want to make $15 an hour, then price your books at $15 and try to sell 8 a day. That's how you do your marketing. We're going to get into the Donis McClure Show. We're going to come up with another track. And again, what I'm trying to tell you is get a strategy to how you want to write. So then that way when you're doing these things, you feel better about it, and your girlfriend won't be on your back so much, or your husband or wife will say, okay, you're doing something. Now, I found a track by Christopher Williams, and again, it's a slow love track, and what he's talking about is there's a girl that he really likes, and he's now her boyfriend, and her ex-boyfriend treated her pretty bad. So he's telling her he's going to lift her up, and he's going to make her feel like she's the best thing in the world, and that he's going to remove the hurt that she felt. Well, when you're dealing with life and you're dealing with somebody else and you're writing about that in your diary or whatever, of course you're going to talk about the past relationships. But what he's telling her is don't let the hurt from the past relationships damage your new relationship. So when you're writing that kind of thing, that's why you have to have a happy ending. That was the reason why in 1930 they made it a law that you could not write bad endings. So no matter what the demon did, no matter what the villain did, you had to have a happy ending because people were depressed if you gave them bad endings. So either you were going to continue the story, which is what I do with some of my characters. Now I have 2 or 3 books after that. But we're going to listen to this track. He wants to lift her up. And again, he's telling her that he's going to change things for her as far as her emotions are concerned so that she could start thinking about being more successful in love.
If that is not enough, then I'll correct.
Now, what I did was when I started writing, I decided on how do I develop my titles. I develop my titles first. Before I get into my books, I paste them on the wall and I look at them so I'll know what it is I'm writing. I started with Broken Wings, Fallen Angels, which was my autobiography, a true story about life. Then I created Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs, based on a lot of the poetry that I grew up with from Arthur Prysock, from some of the greatest movies, and I admire them, especially the movie My Fair Lady. I like the fact that they took a young lady who didn't have a whole lot, that was considered poor, and turned her into a great lady. So again, I kept taking and drawing from the experiences in life and using my imagination, and how did I want to write it? My newest book is called Dark Side of the Earth, Demons and Angels, At First Glance, because I'm writing a book about faith. And yes, there's a young lady who falls in love with a human, but she had always been in love with him. She watched over him. So again, now the demon named Raziel gets defeated in that book, and he leaves, but he's going to come back in another book called Rage of the Demons. And what's going to happen is now he wants to pay her back for having God tell him to get out of people's faces and stop messing with people. Well, your imagination, when people say, how do you come up with this stuff? You've got to stretch your imagination. And it looks like on our message board, I've just sold 7 of my books. Man, that's amazing. And then there was 2 earlier from Kecia Williams. So I'm reaching my daily goal. That was pretty good. But again, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. I'm going to be in Chicago doing a book signing. You can come out there. And it's going to be worked on by Tony Stevens and Delilah, who's with the NAACP Criminal Justice Division. But we're going to be doing a book signing in Chicago, and it's going to be on the South Side. So if you want to come out and learn more about writing, you can. This is almost the end of my show. I've got to say my favorite words. It's been nice being here. I want you to enjoy life because that's all you have. And think about what it is you want to do in life. And if you have a desire and your destiny is to be a singer or a writer or a painter or just selling widgets, if that's your destiny to be the best in corporate America, don't let anybody turn you around. Again, you can go to my website, www.dsmpublications.net, and of course it's named after me. Who else would it be? The one and only Don S. McClure. Listen, I got to go. We're going to play a track by Liv Warfield called Catch Me If You Can, and I want you to catch me if you can, and you can catch me next Friday where we'll have a guest named Tony Stevens, who's a great artist and entrepreneur, and I'm going to get out of here and find me a club to go shake, 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 shake your, oh, I can't say that on the radio, booty. But anyway, enjoy your weekend. It's been a blast being here with you. I love my fans, and I love my supporters, and I just love everybody. Oh, you're all just so sweetie-beady, so I'm going to say bye.
Catch me if you can, I'm out of here.
And that's it. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week.